May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you already know, this is Holy Humor Sunday, or what was known in the 16 centuries ago, that is, as Risus Pascalis. In Latin, Risus is translated as laughter, and Pascalis means Easter, so put the words together and it means holy, or excuse me, Easter laugh. It's an opportunity to have a good laugh at the devil and at death, knowing how God, through the risen Christ, conquered death. And with the preparation, busyness, and of course fasting during Holy Week, and with the seriousness born out of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the solemn approach to the Easter tomb, I was ready to proclaim Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, right? And so that's a really, really important. Nobody told me you're all wearing sunglasses, a lot of you out there. Let's take Pastor Jack on a buggy ride. I love it. The solemnity, however, is transformed into rejoicing, and we say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Monday after Easter, sometimes is referred to as Easter Monday, then became a day of rejoicing and telling jokes and stories and merriment, and perhaps because the clergy, after a long Holy Week, could finally take a break. I know we take the Monday off after Easter, and boy, we needed it. not just me, but the staff takes off Monday after Easter, so that if for no other reason, just to rest and relax a bit. Now, these practices go back as far as 385 A.D., connecting them to St. Gregory in Nyssa. Early Christian leaders who celebrated Risus Pascalis often told jokes and uplifting, lighthearted stories in the days following Easter. Remembering to have a good laugh is not a matter of being disrespectful at the cost of anyone other than the devil. And the last thing we as Christians want to do is to be perceived as humorless. I mean, God clearly has a sense of humor. Just consider the duck-billed platypus, as well as moles and voles and potoo birds. You ever seen a potoo bird? It's a class of birds that have, they're called frogmouth birds. And I think they're strange looking. Some would say ugly, but they're very interesting, and they got really big beady eyes. So they look like they're continually being caught with their beak in the cookie jar. It's just really a humorous looking animal. We see God's sense of humor in those creations, and sometimes we have to put a mirror up to ourselves and say, yeah, God does have a sense of humor. I mean, yeah, just look at that. There's a story of a clergy who had a chance encounter with Groucho Marx in Montreal, and the priest was very respectful, and he extended his hand, and he said, "I want to thank you for all the joy you've put in the world." And Groucho Marx, you can almost hear his voice, says, "And I want to thank you for the joy you've taken out of this world." You know, God does have a sense of humor. And it was God who had the last laugh when people went to the tomb that first Easter morning. Surprise! He's not dead. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. Author and Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton once wrote, quote, "Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. Never forget that the devil fell by the force of gravity. He who has faith has the fun." I like that. And as the century went by, many holy humor traditions sprang up, including pranks and jokes to help people lighten up, reminders not to be too serious. Long before the internet, Facebook Ice Bucket Challenge, and before coaches were baptized with Gatorade at the end of a victorious championship game, it was a common practice to dump bucket of waters on people, especially the clergy on this day. Don't get any ideas. I'll take this out with me. Perhaps this is what caused Pope Clement X to end these practices long ago. Clement X was a 17th century pope from about 1670 to 1876, and was a killjoy. No, not 1876, 1676. He was a really long pope. He took that seriously. No, I'm sorry, 1676. I don't know, maybe the Pope was doused with one too many waters or listened to one too many bad jokes from the pulpit. Perhaps he just had enough and he crossed his arms and said, that's not funny. And he banned it. He banned Rhesus Paschalis. For whatever reason, in the 17th century, he promptly put an end to it. But in the last probably 20 to 30 years, the good news is that the rhesus has risen from the grave. In the post-resurrection season of Eastertide, we are laughing once again. We've been having Holy Humor Sunday here at Central Church for about 7 years now, and we maintained that tradition through the COVID-19 pandemic. It even inspired some of our tech guys to put together blooper reels from those many services that we recorded. I'm thankful for the laughter. I do believe, along with Reader's Digest devotees, that laughter is the best medicine. If not to medicine, it's at least in the top five. So over my many years of ministry, I've often used humor in my messages. I've used humor in life and during funerals and memorial services. I'm serious when I say that I get a little concerned when we take away from the words funeral and memorial in favor of celebration of life. I think that we need to really recognize and truly mourn our losses in life. At the same time, I believe that humor and laughter is a wonderful part of life that God gives us and should be included in the remembrance of a loved one who is no longer at our sides. I began my father's eulogy by telling the story of how our family woke up on Easter Sundays well into our teen years. I mean, talk about a dad joke that just went on and on and on and on. We were woken each Sunday morning by my dad yelling something like, "Hey, you, get out of here. Get out of here. Shoo, shoo." We'd come to our bedroom doors and blurry-eyed, and we said, "What's going on, Daddy?" And he said, "Oh, this big bunny was walking around our house hiding eggs all over the place. Got rid of him." He did that until we were in our teen years. And of course, to enjoy the buggy ride a little longer, it took us 40 minutes to gather all the eggs. There was only a couple dozen of them colored. We were there when we did it, but Dad kept taking them out of our baskets and rehiding them during the entire time. He thought that was funny. But that's who my dad was. And he lived a good, long life. But sometimes that's not always the case. It's important to literally laugh in the face of death. One of the toughest funerals I've ever conducted was while I was your pastor. The funeral of a 10-year-old boy named Jackson. I met a lot of heroes in my ministry, and one of the most memorable ones is Jackson's father, who told me the story as his wife sat beside him as I was working with him to plan for the funeral. And he explained to me how he had to explain to his 10-year-old son that he wasn't going to live much longer. We welcomed that family here on our Rose Memorial Sunday, All Saints Day. And you hugged and kissed them. You showed them support. I greeted them. We just shook heads at each other, knowing the pain that they had gone through. But here's the thing. Jackson was a baseball-playing, Nintendo-slaying, playful boy. He was a great kid. During our planning, his father called him his little goober. Since the time he was a toddler, his little goober. So I used that word to describe him, and people smiled, and they laughed, and they nodded during his memorial. It was a bit of humor that was well appreciated. And it was a part of that young boy's life. Friends, I want to share five ideas that I believe will allow us, allow joy and humor to blossom in your lives. And if not add years to your life, then certainly I hope would add life to your years. I say possibly add life to your years because study after study have shown that laughter, releasing those endorphins into your bloodstream is good for your health. It's good for your life. It's good for your mental state of mind. First, engage in fellowship and practice hospitality, especially hospitality to strangers. The first verse of our scripture lesson from Acts, we read about the four important elements of the early church. We read about those early Christ followers who devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship and the breaking of bread. That's really important. Four important things in the early church. Though we are to be intentional about fellowship, spending time together, being fed by each other's presence. And that happens often over the table. When we extend hospitality to strangers, then we are inviting the new and unexpected into our lives, and it can be a great opportunity to learn and to love and to laugh. I was speaking this past week on Wednesday at the Baldwin Center to the Lions Club of Pontiac. I'm the chair of the trustees of Baldwin Center this past week, and I was having that conversation, and I was searching for a word. I was answering questions. I was off script, didn't have it in front of me, and I was searching for the words financial literacy, but what it came up with was financial competency. And this young woman said to me, "It's financial literacy. That's what it's called." And she proceeded to teach me, even though I really didn't need to learn that. I just, whatever. But I thought about it later, because here's what happened. I didn't deny her. I didn't tell her, I know, I don't want to listen to you. That would be a horrible thing to do, you know? But she told me a little bit more about financial literacy as we were having this conversation in front of the group of gathered people. It was precious. And now we're friends. And she's going to be my guest at the Baldwin Gala in a couple weeks. She says, "Yeah, I'd love to come." I said, "Why don't you come? Let's do that." Second, do one wild or silly thing a day. Now, I'm not sure you want to do it every day, but do something that just causes you to relax. My wife and I, we work long days, and sometimes into the evening we'll be working, and we always say, "What time are we done?" So that we can either just sit down, maybe watch a little TV, or just enjoy each other's presence, talk about plans that we're making for whatever. But you just gotta stop what you're doing and enjoy the day. So it doesn't have to be wild, but you can practice your dance moves if you want to. You start looking at cat videos. The problem with that is that you end up in your pajamas at noon, late for a lunch date. But those things happen. We had a member of our church who is a dance instructor, got married, and before her wedding, she had classes on dancing. And I went to those classes because I wanted to learn some new dance steps. It was fun. And I still have the videos from those dance classes. And oh my gosh, and every once in a while, I kind of contemplate, how is it that cowboy hustle goes? We do that? In keeping with our holy humor theme, I want for us to do something a little bit silly. We want to sing a hymn with some different words. So it's to the tune of "Take Time to Be Holy," but it's "Take Time to Be Funny." It's in your bulletin, the yellow, but the words will be up here also. So how about we sing "Take Time to Be Funny"? All right? Take time to be funny, rejoice in the Lord. Let laughter explode and have fun with God's word. For laughing is healing, gives strength to the weak. God loves to see smiles, they lift up the meek. Take time to be silly, it's good for the soul. Too many are somber, not losing control. Let go and let God's love wash over your soul. Heavenly transcendence can be your life's goal. For humor is holy, it sanctifies life, replenishes hope and oft softens advice. It undercuts sorrow, deflates haughty pride. So smile and be happy, rejoice in God's rhyme.
Good voice. A little silly, thought you might enjoy it. Third, and I say this cautiously, say no so that you can sometimes say a true yes. Now, I could get really preachy and say that you should say no to the world so that you can say a holy yes to God and the church, especially when I call you to do something for the church. But that's just the way I feel when it's difficult to find volunteers to lead in our mission and ministry. In the words of Montana psychologist Charlotte Kasel, she says, quote, when you won't play the role of the one who gives all or the nice guy, other people might feel hurt or be angry with you. Remember, whenever we carry others on our backs, both become cripples. By taking people off your back, you free them to learn to walk, and you'll feel lighter, happier, and more able to feel the breath of the Spirit. Most of all, as you get more comfortable in saying no, you can relax, laugh, and start saying a true yes. Think about it. What is going to feed your soul? If it means saying yes to the church, praise God, and you have to say no to something else, I get it. We only have so much hours in the day. We only have so much resources to give. You know, we have to say no in order to say a true yes. Fourth is laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. Dr. Leonard Sweet, pastor and theologian, reminded me that in one of his books, the Latin root for the word humor means fluid, like water. So what keeps us fluid and flexible? The fluid of laughter and humor. I won't elaborate more on that because laughter is part of Holy Humor Sunday. And I mean, we've already talked about the endorphins and the lightness that it gives you when you laugh. Fifth and finally, change your prayer focus from please God to please God. Take out the comma between please and God. Transition your praying from asking God for things to asking God for the pleasure of God's pleasure. Does that make sense? You want to be in God's presence, which is pleasurable. Think about it. Would God be more pleased with your angry reaction to something that goes wrong in your life? Or would God be more pleased with you not taking yourself more seriously than you ought and keep an even-tempered perspective? You may even want to laugh because it's true. You might just end up crying if you don't laugh, if you can't laugh. A word of caution, we may not be able to put everything together, these steps, all at once. It's not a quick fix. But as you begin to be hospitable, enjoy doing something wild or silly, saying no to say a true yes, laughing and pleasing God, you will find step by step a love in your life that casts out the fears and the tears. And you might even add years to your life as you add life to your years. And that's the word of God for the people of God in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.